Believe that? I don't know about you, but this year has flown by. I had a week that hasn't stopped yet. Anybody been busy this week already? And it's like Christmas is already just go, 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 go. And I'm going to tell you, I'm excited. We're wrapping up our series called Safe People. And I really laid this out before Christmas, and I really laid it out around the holiday season because relationships are challenging. And I'm sure some of you right now, you're already thinking about what's it going to be like when so-and-so gets to the house for Christmas. Anybody have one? What's going to happen? How is so-and-so and this one going to get along? Are they going to cause trouble this year when they see one? Anybody ever had those at their Christmas? Is it just me? How do we deal with those relationships, and the dynamics? And so I've been sharing this series on how do you build those safe relationships? How do you build those relationships where you can be open, you can be honest, and you have that embrace and that warmth in those relationships? And where do we find those safe people in our life? And so I really began, and I beat this up. Every message for 5 weeks now has had this definition. And I put it there every week because I wanted to make sure this stuck in your mind. What is a safe person? How would you say this person is a safe person for me? What are they going to be like? And so I have these three qualities. If you're looking for a relationship and you want a positive relationship in your life, a relationship that will be uplifting to you, blessing to others, here's three qualities that relationship must have. Not might have, not should have, not could have, but must have these three qualities. You got your little outline out. You can fill in the blanks as we go through it. The first one says, if you're going to have a positive relationship, is that relationship going to draw me closer to God? Will this relationship with these that I associate with these that I pull into my life, with these that I walk through life with, will draw me closer to God? All right, that's one of the first things you need to look at every relationship in your life. If you're going to have what is a safe relationship. Anybody ever have a bad relationship? Anybody ever know somebody? Now, nobody here is like this. I'm going to say this right here. Nobody here is like this. I've never experienced this here. But I serve on some committees. I've been involved in some situations. When somebody comes up, you ever have that person? Now, don't look around. You ever had that person that they come and hug you, but they know they got a knife in their hand as they're hugging you, they're going like this? Anybody ever have that kind of, anybody ever know people like that? All right, how do we avoid that? So we need to ask, is this relationship going to draw me closer to God? Is it going to pull me into that God relationship? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. That's what God wants. The second one is, draw me closer to others. Is this relationship going to call me closer to others, or is it going to isolate me? Is it going to manipulate me? Is it going to abuse me? Is this relationship going to draw me closer to others, or is it all about that individual and those individuals in our life? And the second is like, love your neighbor as yourself. That we need to love one another. And God has called us to do that. And so there's that scripture there. And then as I go on, is it draw closer to God? Is it relationship going to draw me closer to others? And is it going to help me be the real person God created me to be? Do I have to wear a mask? Do I have to pretend? Do I have to do something else? The PowerPoint will catch up in just a minute. Do I have to have that real person in life? Am I going to be my real person? And the scripture says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to works. See, is that what that relationship is going to draw to me? Is that really going to be to me that kind of a relationship? So I'm going to ask you, how many have relationships like that in your life? Anybody got a relationship like that in your life? Nobody's raising their hand, but you're nodding your head. So I'm going to take that as a yes. We need those in our life because we're going to have hurtful relationships. We've all been hurt. But how do we find them? And we've been talking about that all these times. And we look at doing, we get hurt in a relationship. We feel wounded. We feel confused. You ever had that relationship? You thought it's going to really work out? This is going to be a good relationship. This person is positive. This person is going to be good for me. We're going to have, and I'm going to share, and they're going to share, and we're going to get along well, and we're going to be best friends. And then a month down the road, it's like, oh, you've just been stabbed in the heart. How do we deal with those relationships when they go wrong? What do we do when things don't work out? You know? And maybe you're here this morning. It's amazing to me. I was in a meeting this week. How many people are battling loneliness right now at the holiday season? You know, and they reach out. And so what I wanted to begin with this morning is kind of give you some warnings, okay? Some things that sometimes we do trying to build relationships. Some things that sometimes, you know, we're trying to work on this and we want it to work and we're doing this and we're doing that and we're doing. And so I call these, if you look at outline, I call these false solutions, the seven doings. So instead of trying to connect deeply with somebody, we start doing things. And so we have a relationship that went bad on us. Things didn't work out well. We've been wounded, maybe some words, maybe some action. Something happened, and now we're sitting there wondering, what went wrong? Where did I go wrong? What do I need to do in this next relationship to make it work? And we start talking about doing instead of looking at how we can connect with others. And so I have these seven doings, but here's what I want to paint you a picture of, and I want you to know, because God kind of outlined it for us. See, God wants a relationship with everyone, right? Everybody on board with that one? That God created us for a relationship, and he wants a relationship with all of us. And when he created that, that's what he formed. And he created a system of that relationship, and he sent. And he sought Israel, and Israel sought that relationship, but then they got kind of confused. They thought that their offerings to God, that God really didn't care about the relationship. He cared about what they were doing too much. And so they started doing all these sacrifices. You know, maybe I could say it this way. I know nobody here does this, right? You act one way on Sunday morning and you act a different way on Monday. Anybody? Don't raise your hand if you do, but I don't think anybody here does that. You know? But that's kind of doing, you know? They wanted that relationship, so they did this sacrifice. Listen to what God says. I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. See, what we want in our relationship, we want to be known. We want to be accepted. It's not about doing, but we get caught up in doing. Have you ever had a relationship that went wrong? Things didn't work out, and you're trying to figure out what to do next. And here's these seven doings. Sometimes you just keep doing the same thing over and over again and wonder why it never works. Anybody? You know, isn't that the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing and expecting a different result? Sometimes we get caught up in our relationship. We just keep doing the same thing. We don't stop and say, why? What went wrong? You know, sometimes we need to sit down and have a cup of coffee. You know, I don't drink coffee. Maybe a soda for me. And, you know, why did this thing blow up? You know, to do that. Here's another one. Sometimes we just do the opposite. Relationship goes bad, and we just go 180 degrees the other way. Anybody ever seen somebody dating do that? They date this person and it didn't go well, so they date somebody totally the opposite. And that didn't go well. Anybody ever do that flip? You know, it's like, I've got to totally change myself in order to be liked, in order to be accepted. I got to change. I'm just going to turn all the way around. Or how about this? How about doing too much? We get in a relationship, you know, I'm going to do whatever's necessary. I'm going to do whatever it takes to make this relationship work. And you do it for a while, then you get burned out, and you don't want to do it anymore. Then what happens to the relationship? Anybody? We get caught up in all these doing. How about doing nothing? I just won't, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to go out with friends anymore. I'm not going to go over their house no more. I'm not going to associate with anybody anymore. I've been many times, I don't want to do nothing. Just leave me alone. And people do nothing. How about the next one I put down here? How about doing for others? You'll just do everything. I'm going to serve them. You give. You just keep giving and giving until you're all give out, and then everything blows up. Anybody ever hit like that? You just gave, and then pretty soon your tank's empty and there's no more to give, and the relationship blows up. It doesn't work. How about this one? Doing cosmetic personal personality surgery. You just kind of change a little bit to put a new face on it, but your heart is still the same. Anybody ever deceive anybody? No, don't raise your hand. But anybody ever deceive somebody? You know, it's like, I'm going to pretend to be, I like him, she likes me, we'll do this, we'll do that. And you pretend, you do this person, you know, just a little bit. But then you get to the end and you go like this. How many of us have somebody we know that's checked out and just, I don't have anybody in my life? I'm going to be all alone. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares for me. I'm just going to do without. That's just my curse. That's what God did for me. I'm doing without. See, we get into this habit of doing when really what we need is to connect. Our heart wants to connect. We want to be known. And being known doesn't come from doing all these things or doing nothing or doing something or doing everything. That's how you build a relationship. Is not built on doing. The relationship is built on being. Does that make sense? That's what a relationship is. It's built on being. You're being with one another. You're being yourself. You're being there. You know, that's what a relationship is built on. It's not all these doing things, and we get caught up into that. So how do we choose our friends? How do we make choices? And so I put this verse here. On the, if you turn your folder over, you'll see this. The wise see danger ahead and avoid it, but fools keep on going and get in trouble. Anybody ever seen somebody do that? You know, you ever watch somebody, you know, they're going down the wrong path, and you're going, I've told them, and they just keep going, and they keep going. You know, I had this thing that had a bunch of reviews of evaluations of employees. And one of them had this on that. This guy had wrote this about this employee. He has reached bottom and is now digging. Anybody ever know somebody like that? You know, they hit bottom instead of turning around and coming. You ever say anything? Well, when they hit bottom, they'll turn around. Well, this guy hit bottom. He just, he ain't low enough yet. He keep digging. And so wise things, we need to step back and make wise decisions in our relationship. We need to step back and think, is it going to draw me closer to God? Is it going to draw me closer to others? Am I going to be who God created me to be? You know, and we need to think about those things. And it's all of that, and it takes all of that. And what's great is not just God, but Jesus kind of gave a great picture here. Listen to what Jesus says as he talked about it. He writes this: a good tree does not produce bad fruit, nor does a bad tree produce good fruit. Each tree is known by its own fruit. People don't gather figs from a thorn bush, and they don't get grapes from bushes. Now he's going to put this into reality for us. Good people bring good things out of the good they stored in their heart, but evil people bring evil things that is stored in their heart. People speak the things that are in their heart. See, we all have a story. Here's what Jesus is saying. We all have a story, and you can judge somebody's character. You can evaluate somebody's life by their story. Is that true? Can you listen to somebody's story and evaluate and judge and concern their lives? And that's what I think we need to think about when we look at our friends. Are they friends? Can I draw closer to God in this relationship? Will I draw closer to others in this relationship? Will I be who God created me to be? Will this person? And so it is okay. Now here, I want to make sure I laid the foundation for this. It is okay to judge somebody's character. All right? But it's not okay, not me. It's okay to judge character, but it's not okay not to love everyone. Does that make sense? No. But it's true. We're supposed to love everyone, but not everyone needs to be a safe person in our life. Now, does that make sense? See, that's what we need to see in our lives. That we care about everyone, and that everyone matters, and that everyone is important, and that we live lives in love, and we live our lives loving others. But it doesn't mean that they have to be a part of our lives. So at the end, when I get done, don't jump ahead now. I'm just going to give you a little heads up. At the end, I'm going to give you 5 boundaries. What to do when things go wrong. But right now, I want to talk about testing the fruit. Look at somebody's story. When you're thinking about being friends, when you're thinking about drawing close to others, when you're thinking about building relationships, you need to think about the fruit of their lives. And the best picture of the fruit of their life is called the fruit of the Boy, you guys are ahead of me already. The best picture of that fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. It's what the Holy Spirit produces in those who are walking with God. And it's here on your page just for you to look at. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And why don't you put an X through patience? Kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing, there's no. Don't cross out patience. That's my battle, all right? Because nobody's perfect, all right? You want to be my friend, you realize you're not going to have a patient person with Gary. Don't ride with him in a car. You know, it's just, you know, that's my battle. We all have battles. Now, maybe I should ask you, what's yours? Don't shout it out. You might not want anybody to know. But we all have battles. But here's this fruit. Now, I want to make sure you understand. When we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, I'm not talking about a bunch of fruit. I'm talking about a fruit. I brought one up. I brought a apple that has Mickey on it, okay? I got an apple here. The fruit of the Spirit is not, here's a pear, and here's an apple, and here's a banana, and here's this bowl of fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, and I've preached on this, I'm not going to dwell too long on this, but the fruit of the Spirit is a fruit, and I have to have an apple. You know? Now, the apple has a peel, and the apple has a meat, the apple has some seeds, the apple has a core, am I right? There's many elements of an apple. Well, that's what it's saying here. The fruit of our life has many elements. It's one fruit and not fruits. And so that fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and all nine of those qualities. And so I want to make sure you had a picture. It's not a multiple kind of fruits in our life. There's one fruit. It's the fruit, and it's all of it together. It's the whole package. And so what I wanted to do this morning, instead of talking about each one of these elements, I preached, most of us know, everybody, when I say love somebody, everybody knows, what is love? We all kind of know what a picture of love looks like, don't we? And we know what patience should look like. You know, and we know what joy and gladness is. So I want to talk about the quality of the fruit this morning, not the fruit itself. When I was a teenager, I used to go stay with my grandma, and I would pick pears, all right? And so I'd go live in Placerville, and we'd go in the mountains, we'd pick pears. Now, just to kind of give you a picture, anybody see those 4x4 things on the back of trucks? You'd fill one of those. Now, when I was to tell you how hard that was, you'd fill, you know how much you got for one of those? $7.50 when I filled that thing up with pears. You know, that's what they paid me when I worked. But you go through the orchard, you don't go through the orchard once, you go through the orchard twice when you pick pears. Every time you go through the orchard, you got a thing that looks like a number 8. Got a little hole for your thumb and a little bigger ring, and I think ours was a 2.25-inch ring or a 2.5-inch ring. It fit on your hand, you put it in your thumb, you put it like this, and if the pear went through it, you didn't take it the first picking. You left that pear there. But if the pear was bigger than that ring, you'd pick that pear, you put it in your bag, you go down and you put it in your thumb. And that called the first pick, and you picked the biggest pears the first picking. And you go through the whole orchard, everybody going through the orchard picking the first fruits. And then after you got done picking the first fruit, you went by and you went back and you picked everything off the tree. See, what I want to talk about this morning is when we look at our relationships, we should be picking the first fruits. Does that make sense? We should be picking the best of the best. That's what a safe relationship is. Now, we're going to relate to everybody. Jesus says, love your friends. Love those who look like you. Love those you like. He says, love everyone. And then he even gets more radical than that. He says, love your enemies. Bless those who persecute you. I'll bless them with a 5, right? You know, that's not right. Just let me tell you, I'm being sarcastic. Please don't, you know. But we, you know, God says that. But there's certain life that we can be close to. That's what I want to talk about this. Who are you close to? And so I gave some qualities here of what to look for. I want a nice, shiny red apple. Anybody like red apples? I like nice, shiny, bright red apple. You know, ask Snow White what she likes, okay? You know, and get a picture. You get this nice, bright. And so I gave some qualities here that just, if you look at your relationships, here's what you need. Is there an acceptance in that relationship? Is there? It's me. This is who I am. There's love. There's patience. They're patient with me. They're kind with me. They're gentle with me. They're understanding with me. You know, it's grace and acceptance in that relationship. That's kind of the polish of the fruit. That's kind of the brightness of the fruit in our life. How about this? There's a mutual struggles. You know, we're going through life. We all have struggles. If you don't have any struggles right now, I'm going to give you some bad news. Before Christmas, you're going to have some, okay? You know, we all have them. I always like the statement, you're either in trouble, coming out of trouble, or getting ready to go into trouble. Take your pick. You know, we all have, but we want people who have had some similar struggles to, not exactly the same, but they can understand our struggles. They can understand our battles, and they're with us. And that's part of that polish that we look at. And then I put here, there's a mutual interest in chemistry. You know, we kind of like the same things. Now, you know, this is a little challenging for me because it's awful fun. We were talking about it this week. Laura goes with me, and just so you know, we go on vacation and we go places. I will walk through cemeteries and just read headstones at the cemeteries. You know, we'll go to, like, on our driving across country, we go through Vicksburg, and I want to go through the battlefield of Vicksburg. And so we drive through the battlefield of Vicksburg, and I'm driving through, and mutual interest. Do you think Laura's interested in that? Yeah. So she'll sit in the car and read a book. And I'll get out and go take a picture, you know, and then I'll drive to the next place and take another picture, and we'll do this, and then you know, drive around, and then I want my picture. Laura, you got to put your book down. Come here and take a picture of me by this. You know? Or Laura, get in this picture. We're going to take a picture of ourselves. You know? But what was fun, I was talking with somebody this week. We were running around and in San Francisco, and we went shopping. Now, do you think I'm mutually interested in shopping? Oh, we're going to go to Westfield Mall, San Francisco, and we're going to go look at sweaters. Isn't that fun to look at sweaters? But guess what I do? I go look at sweaters, and Laura put a sweater on, and doesn't this look nice? And doesn't this look nice? And I'll go yes, and she'll go put another one on, and I'll go no, and guess which one she buys? Yeah. So then why did you ask me? There's not always that mutual interest, but there's a chemistry. You know, I will go there, and you know, I'll go stand in Kohl's. They, you know, they have free internet there, and you put it on your phone, and you stand there, and she walks in and changes clothes. She comes out. Yeah, no. Relationship. Isn't that a relationship? Yeah. And I was talking to somebody. She was, I was telling her, you know, Laura puts up with me doing that, but she goes, well, you put up with her going shopping. And I go, I don't, yeah, dude. That's called mutual, isn't it? And so we need to see that. How about this one? How about the absence of one up and one down? Don't you like those relationships? Well, here's what I did, and you said, well, I did this. And anybody have that one-upmanship relationship with somebody? Anybody got a family member like that? They just always got to be one more up than you, you know? You did this, and they're going to go out there and do even more. And so we got to, you know, Paul and Apple, how about loving confrontation? Confrontation. Can confrontation be loving? I think Jesus said, or was it Paul? One of those in the writers in the Bible said, speak the truth in love. Sometimes we need to be confronted. Be honest with you. Sometimes I need my wife to tell me, Gary, be patient. Slow down. With the right attitude, okay? Loving confrontation, all right? How about the absence of a controlling behavior? You ever been around somebody who wants to control you? Where you can go, what you can eat, what you can say, when you get around? How about a relationship with God? Would that be a nice polish? Wouldn't that be a nice polish on a relationship? Drawing closer to God, closer to others, becoming who God created you to be? And an honest and reality instead of over-spiritualizing. Now, it's hard for a preacher to say this, but you know, some people just over-spiritualize things. It's just all about God, and it's going to crash and burn, and over-spiritualizing. See, these are some characters, and I just wanted to make sure we pointed this out. You know, we know what love is, and we know what patience and kindness is, but how does it fit with all this? What's that polish on it? How does it look in our lives? How does it become real in our lives? I'm going to ask you, do you have people in your life who kind of fit those qualities in you? Do you have somebody in your life like that? If not, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be hurting. You need those people in your life who can be there for you, who's going to walk with you, who's going to hear with you. Our world is a lonely place. I look down my street and I see people on my street who have nobody. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I've watched people down my street, drive down the street, push a button, draw in the garage, and never come out. I never see his wife. I don't know what's going on. I've talked to him a couple of times, tried to talk to him, that they're very, and I wonder, and you know what I do for them? I pray for them. You know, I got another neighbor, you know, they pull into the driveway, they pull in the garage, and you just never see them. Now, you hear their music when they're out there washing the car. Anybody know that? You know? But they just... Then I got some other neighbors. We wave, we talk. The one down here and the one over here. We'll you know, come out and talk. And my neighbor next door is trying to get me to buy a house in Mexico. Wants me to move to Mexico with him. He says, yeah, he just went down to sign his house. $98,000 for a house. Food is cheap and everything. He says, it's safe and everything. And I go, well, I don't speak Spanish. He says, that's okay. I'll speak for you. It's like, you know, I don't think Laura will go for it. Really nice guy, you know. Him and I talk all the time. Do you ever have that neighbor you hide from? You see him come out. I'm not going to go check my mail now. Don't now. Come on now. You guys act so innocent. Is it relate? You see what I'm talking about? Our relationship. We need to work on this. And it takes wisdom. And it takes discernment. And it takes information. We can be fruit inspectors. All right? We can be fruit inspectors. We are not judging to put people down, to push people off, to turn people away. We got to love everybody, and we're going to love everybody, and we're going to accept everybody. We don't have to approve of everything. But there are people in our life that are closer than that, that are a part of our life. We need those relationships. God created us for those relationships. And I look in our world today, and I'm going to tell you, I just see so many people who don't have them, who are hurting in life because they're lonely. And they're disengaged. And like I said earlier, they dealt with that false sense of security by they're just going to be with. But what we need to do is we need to step in and make some wise choices in our lives. Is it going to draw me closer to God? Is it going to draw me closer to others? Am I going to be able to fulfill what God created me to be? And we need to reach into those. And into those relationships. But here's the reality. Sometimes we make poor choices. Sometimes deception. Sometimes one of those false things have played out. Something's happened. And we make some poor choices. So how do we deal with a relationship that goes awry? That's how I wanted to end this series. What do you do when you're in that bad day? What are you going to do this Christmas when that person comes over? Anybody? How are you going to handle those situations? And so I had five things here. But what's interesting, here's what I want you guys to know and what I want us to know this morning, is it's not new. The issues that we face are issues that's existed from the beginning of time. Can you imagine what it must have been like in Adam and Eve's home? You got two brothers going at it. Matter of fact, in the end, one kills the other one. Isn't that exciting in a home? We think, well, dysfunctional family, when did it start? Adam and Eve. And how do we deal with this? Now, I like what Paul wrote Timothy. Listen to what Paul wrote Timothy, and think about if this does not seem real today. I think if this could not be written to us today. Listen to what he says. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. Does that sound like today? Am I far off? Now, this is 2,000 years ago, all right? For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. Is any of you today? This is 2,000 years ago. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. I read that, I'm going, that looks like today. And he says, stay away from them. So here's what I want to make sure you understand. It's okay to be a fruit inspector, but we still need to pray for them. Isn't that what Jesus said? Pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who abuse you. We still have that responsibility that we can be fruit inspectors. You know, it's going to be in our home. It might be at work. It might be at school. It might be in our neighborhood. But we're going to have those challenging times. So here's five things. How do you put some boundaries in your life? Okay? So here's five things. Here's what I want to read. Teach them how to treat you by how you treat them. Does that kind of starts with, like, the isn't that the golden rule? Is that what that golden rule? Do unto us as you would have them do unto you. Treat them as you want them to treat them. Treat them how to treat you by... Let me stop. Treat them how to treat you by how you treat them and by how you allow them to treat you. Don't go negative on the negative people. If you fight a pig in the mud, guess who loves the mud? The pig loves it. You know, some people love to argue. Some people love that relationship and they love the mud. And they're not going to change. Why get in the mud with them? I have this statement for me. You know, if somebody wants to fight, if I choose not to fight, guess what? There can't be a fight. They can yell, they can scream, they can do whatever they want. But if I choose not to fight, guess what? That's the system for Facebook, okay? You hear me? Best foot for Facebook is somebody wants to fight you, just, oh, okay. Let me tell you what's so fun with when they get in that battle and they start saying all those things, pretty soon you don't respond. Somebody's reading that and goes, man, that person's got a problem. They're not talking about you. They're talking about the person putting all the stuff on the net, not you. Don't get in the mud. Stay above the mud. Treat them as you want them to be treated, not as they deserve. Don't get negative. Don't strike back. Don't fight with them. Don't do that. But the next one kind of develops, where do you go from there? What do you do if they keep pushing? What do you do? Let difficult people know that you are that they are choosing not to be a part of your life based on how they are acting. It's their choice. It's their choice. Here's my boundaries. This is a relationship I want with you. Now, if you don't want to be my live within these boundaries, then that is your. I'll be your friend. I'm here for you as long as you behave in this manner. We're okay. But if you don't behave in this manner, then you're choosing not to be my friend. I'm not pushing you away. I'm inviting you into my circle. Is that okay? You're in my circle. We can be in this circle. Now, you can choose to be in my circle. You can choose to stay out. That's your choice. And so we need to see that. How about this next one? Don't treat them, treat you. Treat them like God treats you. I didn't like that one. If somebody treats me bad, guess what my natural instinct is? You heard me. I say this now. Again, this is Gary's sarcasm. It is not biblical, and it is wrong, all right? You know, but this is the way I feel. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, but Gary gets even. That's wrong. Yeah. But that was my natural instinct. Growing up, my brother did something to me. Guess what? I'm going to do something to my brother. He broke something of mine. I broke something of his. He said something to me. I said something back. Yeah. And it would just keep escalating right on up. And, you know, broke my hand, hit my brother. Pushed my brother through the sliding glass door in the living room. Put my foot through the bathroom door. Now, you guys are all looking like you were so innocent. Now, some of you guys had to be as bad as me, okay? Don't, you know. But now I've changed 99% of the time. So we need to see that. Treat them like they treat, like they, don't treat them like they treat you. Treat them like God treats you. Do all you can to live at peace with them. But if they refute peace with you, then live your life in peace without them. Don't you like my wording here? Some people you just don't need to have in your life. We're having Christmas. You're welcome to come. But here's the boundaries. We're not going to talk politics. Is that okay? Come over to my house. We're going to have... Don't bring your whatever political view. We're not going to talk politics. We're not going to talk about this. We're not going to talk about that. You know what I'm going to talk about this Christmas? You can come over. I'm going to talk about baby Jesus. Let's have some conversation. Does that sound okay? Can you set boundaries like that? You're welcome to come to my house, but I guarantee you what's going to happen to my house. We're going to talk about Jesus. I'd have all my family come down to see me. Now, just so you know, my mom and my mom became an alcoholic after 50. My brothers drank and all that. They were welcome to my house. We always had my grandkids. But you know what? I had a rule in my house. There ain't no alcohol in my refrigerator. That was just, there was no alcohol. Do you know what my brothers did? They brought an ice chest down. That's okay. I'm not going to argue with you. But you're not putting alcohol in my refrigerator. That's my rule. I don't want my kids up in the refrigerator and see alcohol in the refrigerator. You know, that was just my rule. You know, here's my boundary. You can put boundaries in your relationships this Christmas. Is that okay? You know, come on over. We're going to have a party. Invite your worst enemy over. Here's the boundary. You're welcome to come. You know? And so we need to see that, you know. And if it doesn't work out, you know what? I'm okay. It hurts sometimes. Yeah. My dad passed away and never heard me preach. Some of you guys know the story. They'd come down for my anniversaries in the church, and he would park across the street until after church. We'd go over there and have a picnic with the rest of the church. Does that hurt? Yeah. I think, I don't know whether it was a God thing or whether watching his son up there just made him nervous. I don't know what it was. You know? But you know what? I lived at peace with that. So we need to see that. And here's the last one. Now, if you're married, this is really important. If you're married, be completely unified with your spouse in your approach to dealing with difficult person. Well, he's okay. No, he's not okay. Well, she's okay. No, she's not okay. It's true. If one of you say it's not okay, then let me tell you, it's not okay. One of the great surprises for me, when I was in college, I went down to Cal Baptist. Laura and I had got married. And even back then, we had one of our teachers put us in order by last name. This teacher did this every time. We called her a tree, Mrs. Jennings. Loved the lady. She had a great heart, but she'd stand behind her podium like a tree and never move the whole lesson. Monotone, too. Yeah. We were all lined up. And behind me was this girl all the time in her class. And I had her for like two or three classes. Behind me was this one young lady every time. And so we'd have to pass. All right, you take a test when you first come to class, pass your paper back. They'd correct it. You get your paper back. You know, and so we'd do that. I got to know the young lady behind me. You know, she lived in the dorm over there and all of that. And my wife goes, "That girl likes you." I'm going, no, she don't like me. Yeah, I'm married. I don't even pay much attention to her. You know, and no, that girl likes you. You know, no, you know, and we go on. I graduate school. I go to a meeting in Stockton one day, and we're walking around, and there's that young lady with her husband. Walks up and is talking to my wife and I, and she goes, "You know, when we were in college, I liked you." Duh, I'm blind. You know what? I need my wife. You know what I'm saying? We got to listen to our spouses, okay? It goes both ways, all right? You know, if Laura says, "You better be careful here," guess what, Gary? You're going to be careful here. Yeah. I think it goes both ways. And so you got to be unified, you know, that we got to watch those boundaries in our life. And I want to make sure you said these. It's okay to put some boundaries in life, but it's their choice not to get in. Everybody's welcome at my, you know, all my family's welcome at my house. Just don't bring your beer in my refrigerator. Everybody's welcome. Come on over. Just don't put your beer in my refrigerator. Come on over. I'll bring my mom over, and we'll have some great conversations politically. And we did. Two extremes. We take pictures next to one another. It's just, and I'd always give her a bad time. Now, I was raising such a conservative son, and she would get all freaked out. We had a good time. Boundaries. And so it's okay. So I want to make sure you had this picture on these readers. I wanted to finish with this. I wanted to bring it all down. Are they going to draw me closer to God? Are they going to draw me closer to others? Am I going to be who God created me to be? And in this relationship, if it's not working, here's my boundaries. And it's not my choice to push you away. I'm inviting you into my boundaries. I'm inviting you into my friendships. I'm inviting you into my life. But here's the boundaries. Is that okay? So I'm going to encourage you this Christmas. Invite everybody over. Good, bad, I don't want to say ugly, but isn't that what Clint Eastwood movie, Good, Bad, and Ugly? You know, I don't know. You know, invite everybody over, but lay out the boundaries. Here's what we're going to do. You're come on over. You know, you can sit at my table. I invite anybody to my house, you know. There's some people I wish wouldn't come. Shouldn't say that, but there probably is. You know. Here, all you guys are welcome to come to my house. I just won't be home, but come on over. You know? That we have this in our lives. And so I just want to, as we wrap up this message on and this series on safe relationships, I want to ask you, who's that safe person in your life? Who's somebody you're walking with that's drawing you closer to God and drawing you closer to others and helping you become who God created you to be? Who's that person in your life? And it can be partly your spouse, but it needs to be bigger than just your spouse. There needs to be others in your life that you're walking with, that you're enjoying life with. I want to read this to you. Bless those who persecute you. Bless, do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Pay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Doesn't that sound good? Wouldn't that be a nice Christmas? You know, we're here, we're family, we're together. You know, we're loving one another. And so I end with this. Whoever walks with the wise become wise, but the companion of the fools will suffer harm. It's okay. How's your safe person today? What's your Christmas look like today? Are you ready? They will know we are Christians by our love for one another. Let us live a life that invites them in. They're welcome. Here's our boundaries. Here's my safe place. Here's my safe zone. Come on in. But it's your choice. If you choose not to live in Greece, you got to live outside those boundaries. That's okay. I still love you. I'm still going to pray for you. I'm still going to care for you. I'm still going to be there for you. I'm not going to treat you like you treat me. I'm going to treat you like God treats me. And I'm here for you. That's the relationships that God called us to. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. That you do call us to a loving relationship with you. That you accept us just as we are. Abused, bruised and hurted, hurting and wounded. imperfect, but created in your image, that you reach out with your loving arms and you wrap them around us. Thank you for loving us. That, Lord, we need your help in loving others. It's not easy in our world. As we read what Paul wrote to Timothy, Lord, it's a world that very rough and very hard. So help us be loving. You know, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Hey, there's a relationship you need to pray about. And you need to say, you know, would you help me put some boundaries? Maybe you need some boundaries. And maybe you need to be, you know, reaching out. And you want me to pray for you? Just shoot your hand up and say, would you pray for me? Just pray. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Lord, you've seen the hands of these who seek prayer for their peace, Lord. They want to be wise and walk with the wise so they're not wounded and hurt and confused. So I ask you to guard their mind, to protect their heart, to encourage and strengthen them. Let them find their place in you, Lord, that they can live above the fray, they can live above the battles, that don't get into the mud because they're your child. Them up to you that you may encourage them, strengthen them, guide their minds, bless their homes, create the safe zone around them that they can be the people of God you called them to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.